Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. Silence your cell phones, for you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show that was underground before it was cool. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, is the host of this pod who's most likely to win in a shoot fight, Tyler Ward. Tyler, how are you doing?
Oh, Andrew, please. You do me too much. I would probably do okay in a shoot fight.
Well, I qualified it as like the one who's most likely to win out of hosts on this pod.
I see, yeah.
So like, I think how much of a like reach advantage do you have on me?
I don't know.
It's considerable.
I got a considerable height advantage on
like,
you, my friend.
And I there are not many people I know who make me feel short. Because I feel like I'm like right, like I'm above average height for for a man, and you just like,
and then I show up, and it's like, God damn it,
yeah. So I feel like you are the clear person to throw into a fight.
But look,
if Shane McMahon comes calling,
as long as Dop Kato doesn't start hosting this podcast, I think you're right.
Yeah, that's true. That's 100% true. It's been an interesting last few weeks in the wrestling sphere.
Mm-hmm.
The wrestling dome, if I should say, the wrestling thunderdome. We have a few news items we're going to get into at the top of the show here, and then we're going to do a good old-fashioned pay-per-view preview, because the biggest party of the summer has kind of snuck up on us.
Yeah,
you might even say you'll never see it coming, because that's the tagline for SummerSlam this year.
There you go. I know you might not be feeling in a party mood this summer, but it's here.
Yeah. I mean, I welcome the party.
Yes.
I welcome this many hours of programming that are going to happen this weekend, especially since AEW's been preempted by the NBA playoffs coming back.
Yep.
I think we talked a while ago back when we did our big Wednesday Night Wars episode about how the one downside of being on TNT is that you're going to be preempted by basketball. And this is the first time that it's happened.
And now it's happening.
How do you think the response from AEW has been, or like the strategy around
it? I mean, they're doing what they have to, and it's this again. This is something we first saw happening. There was no way that AEW was going to get priority over the NBA, even in this weird pandemic world we live in.
Yeah.
So it was something that was always going to happen. And to be fair, I think they're doing well, but the schedule they have, unless you're looking at like an actual picture of the changes, like it's mad confusing.
Yeah, it's too bad for them that they couldn't get the preempted time slot to be one singular thing too. It has to be like, well, it's gonna be Thursday this week and Saturday this week, and
then we're gonna do one special hour after the NBA on Wednesday.
That's a
good idea.
Having the NBA playoffs as your lead in is great. I would try to pull as many strings as I could with TNT because they're doing these blocks of NBA games that's like four games in a row, so it's basically all day.
Yeah.
So there's not like content, there's not like changes to like, all right, we're going to go from this crew to that crew. It's pretty much the same thing.
Right.
So I feel like if they could get just more AEW ads during this, or get Chris Jericho to visit the TNT inside the NBA studio again, because he did that when they premiered. I feel like just a little bit in there would be a good idea.
I would love if they had they're having to deal with this, so like embrace it, like do some sort of like AEW like commercial for the playoffs. Like you could have something like, you know, someone's getting ready for a match or something, and this is all, you know, filmed backstage, and then like they're getting ready to go to the match, but it turns out their opponent, let's say a Chris Jericho, is like sitting in his in his locker room getting ready to watch the game. Like, I'm sorry, I can't watch right now. The game's about to be on. Like,
yeah.
Something yeah. silly, something fun that promotes both.
Yeah, having some wrestlers do some sort of like cosplay of NBA stars or like
yeah.
parodying mm-hmm. famous Nike commercials, I think would be a good idea.
Sure.
Somehow this wasn't one of the news items we had. We just ended up talking about it.
Yeah. So,
you can see the three news items in front of you, Tyler. Mm-hmm. Is there one that you think is the biggest and that we should start with? I'm giving you carte blanche.
Oh boy, boy. Oh, honestly, I think it could be argued it's not necessarily the biggest, but it's the one I want to talk about first, and that is going to be the bittersweet departure of Renee Young from
yes.
WWE.
I actually think this might be the biggest thing. So PWI Insider reported that Renee Young has given her notice to WWE mm-hmm. this week and that she will be wrapping up with the company shortly after SummerSlam. PW Insider is kind of a half-trusted source, but it seems like this has been picked up by enough other places, and on the NXT TakeOver 30 conference call, Triple mm-hmm. H kind of confirmed that this is happening.
That this is, yeah, legit.
Yeah. Renee continued her role as a utility player with the company this year after her husband, John Moxley, jumped to AEW. Recently, she had contracted. I gotta be more confident in myself when reading words that I wrote. She contracted COVID-19, and it was leaked that she didn't receive any communication from the higher ups in the company checking in on her health.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if that is really what has led her to leave. We don't know really why
yeah.
she's leaving.
Yeah.
She also did announce last month, though, that she is publishing a cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
So
arguably the biggest news.
Yeah, the biggest news is the cookbook.
Yes.
The question here is, how big of a loss is this for WWE, and what will Renee Young's legacy mm-hmm. At the company be?
So I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to depend how big of a fan of Renee Young you are, and to which I am. I'm quite a fan of her. I really enjoy her work. I think she's always been I want to say, you know, she's always like given her all, it seems, and all the weird angles and stuff and backstage promos that she's had to be a part of. I think personally, her legacy for me is going to be the short-lived but beloved stint on Talking Smack with mm-hmm. one Daniel Bryan.
I'm happy you brought that up, because mm-hmm. it also had been floating around the rumor mill in the last few weeks that Talking Smack was getting ready to
be revived.
Yeah.
Yeah, with, oh boy. I know Xavier Woods is going to be on it and someone else.
Yeah.
But Xavier was the
That's
one that stood
team.
Out to me. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I tell me if you think this is too hyperbolic.
Mm-hmm.
I think Renee Young currently, in the history of pro wrestling, is probably the second best backstage interviewer ever.
Mm.
But like behind Mean Gene Okerlund.
Yeah.
But I think that is a disservice to everything that she can do. She is
yeah.
like a B+ to
She's a B+ player.
Well, she is like a B+ to an A as both like a backstage interviewer, mm-hmm. Commentary, an in-ring interviewer.
Yeah.
She is an A+ at pre-shows, post-shows, like side content. Like, she makes those things watchable.
Yeah.
And she is I think she is kind of like the agreeable ambassador that made CM Punk come to WWE backstage. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if that mm-hmm. show has any value without her on it. No.
I mean, I do agree. I personally, I would not rank her in like the top two backstage interviewers, but definitely up there. I've never seen, because I mean, God, there's been so many backstage interviewers who are honestly just like interchangeable people of like, mm-hmm. well, it could be a robot at this point, but she always,
I mean, I would love a robot backstage interviewer.
She always brought us a lot of personality to her backstage things, but without, you know, taking over the segment or something like that.
Yeah.
She
brought an air of legitimacy to WWE because she is like a pro news anchor, sports anchor, comm student. I mean, I know she's not a comm student, but that's what I think. Like, she is like a great on-air personality.
Sure, yeah.
I think she was also part of Total Divas, correct?
She, yes. If not for like a season or two or something.
Yeah.
Because I know... I've definitely watched a few clips of
with John.
John Moxley in the wild.
Like, yeah. I know that she had her own show on the WWE Network too, Unfiltered. Mm-hmm. Like she was someone who you could rely on to create good content for the company. And I don't know that they have anyone else who can do every single thing that she could do.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Kelly, I think, is pretty great.
Hasn't Kathy Kelly already dipped, though?
It's strange because some people have been dipping and coming back. It's been a weird mix.
Yeah.
And then you also have Charlie.
That's true, Charlie Caruso, who's been doing a lot better work recently.
She's been on ESPN's First Take as the fill-in host for that, too.
Yeah. She, for the longest time, I remember when she first started, she was one of those interchangeable people of like, well, it could have been anyone.
Yeah.
But...
I wrote a lot when I forced myself to sit down and watch that NXT pre-show about how she kept saying butt hurt on commentary. I think so. Maybe we disagree on exactly if Renee Young is a first ballot WWE Hall of Famer, but
sure.
I think that her loss will actually be felt pretty quickly in the company. Let's speculate. She's leaving the company. Why? What do you think she's leaving the company for?
What is next
for her?
Yeah, I was gonna say it's probably a plethora of different things. I mean, of course, all signs would be like, oh, clearly she's gonna go to AEW. Like that's it. If she's gonna stay in the wrestling business, like her husband's already there, she's got it in. She's great at her job. I'm sure they would want her. But she does have background in other sports commentary and stuff, so it's not completely out of the box to see her show up on like an ESPN or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Obviously, personally, I would love to see her in AEW. Somewhat as of an on-screen presence, but only like sparingly. I don't want her to be, accompanying Moxley to the ring, but
yeah.
I think that could be an interesting thing to add to Moxley's story. I would love to put her on commentary in AEW.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be a good move. I kind of think that she might be done with the wrestling world.
Yeah, yeah.
I think ESPN has poached a lot of these types of people from WWE in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Grisham got poached.
The
coach got poached. We mentioned Charlie. There's a few others as well. And I think that she would have a lot of value as like a sports center anchor, or because she is someone who keeps up with hockey in particular. I could see her going to NBC Sports, which has a lot of the Stanley Cup coverage, and recently this week just got in trouble for one of their anchors talking about women in hockey. So it seems like she would be a great addition. There's someone loudly partying outside of my window.
I can hear that. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. The listeners can hear it now too. The biggest party of the summer just started.
SummerSlam is here, baby.
Yeah. So we'll see. I've also seen a lot of people say that she maybe is going to move to the Food Network and do a cooking show.
That's true. If she has a cookbook coming out, you would think.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. That seems a little bit less likely to me.
Sure.
But if she became the next Anthony Bourdain, I'd be all there for it. So Renee Young has left.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other changes in the presentation of wrestling as well. It doesn't just stop with her.
Nope.
We got two big ones from WWE and AEW, both announced this week. First, we got to talk about Friday Night SmackDown, which is about to start. We're recording this. If you're listening, you're probably have already watched Friday Night SmackDown, so you can laugh at us when we get things wrong. But Friday Night SmackDown tonight is the debut of the WWE Thunderdome.
Thunderdome.
What does this mean? Mainly that pandemic events are moving to the Amway Center in Orlando, which is a basketball arena. And WWE is touting this as a, quote, state-of-the-art viewing experience that will include more elaborate entrances, pyrotechnics, graphics, drones, and virtual fans that the space of the Performance Center didn't allow for. What do you expect from the WWE Thunderdome, Tyler? Or do you have any questions about it? Because it's kind of vague right now.
So, I mean, of course there are questions, but mm-hmm. I can gather what's going to happen, and I think I'm more just curious, but I'm curious in like that morbid car crash way of like, I feel like something is going to go wrong. I mean, clearly if the idea is having live webcam Zoom feeds of mm-hmm. fans watching SmackDown, SummerSlam, what have you, displayed on the like a TitanTron behind the ring, so you can like see it, and cool, but you know with like wrestling fans and honestly just the internet age, like you are inviting people to mess with you when you try something like this.
Yeah, I'm happy you mentioned that mm-hmm. because I found an article on WWE that they posted today that is mm-hmm. frequently asked questions about the Thunderdome.
Okay, brilliant.
And I think they address kind of how they're going to try to police bad fans in here.
May make an educated guess, I would say surely there has to be a way for them to check the feed before they broadcast the feed of like specific people.
Yes, it seems that you're going to be in a standby group before you're like allowed entrance. Yes. And if you're in your digital seat, you won't necessarily be there for the whole pay-per-view so that they can keep cycling more people in and out. I think it's going to be similar to what the NBA is doing with mm-hmm. their virtual fans, which is just kind of like sticking people in webcams in little virtual seats.
Sure.
I don't know how much it adds for the fans. It certainly adds for the home viewer just the sense of like someone being there. Mm-hmm. The only kind of interesting quirk it's had in the NBA so far is that when the quote unquote away team is taking free throws, the fans pop up under the basket and all like wave and try to distract them. That's like the limit of what's cool about it. WWE Thunderdome is definitely going to take it one step further based on this frequently asked questions page mm-hmm. and do something that I think is going to make your car crash want grow even more. So
sure.
What should I have prepared ahead of participating in WWE Thunderdome?
The answer, no AEW shirts.
Yes, that's actually listed in here that like your clothing, they can ax you for wearing a shirt that is not WWE approved. But here's the interesting thing. Please make sure that you have a stable internet connection before you join. You will also need a front-facing camera and microphone.
Ooh.
So it seems that they are going to be taking the audio feeds from these fans and using it to create actual crowd noise.
Right.
It does say in pretty blunt terms that you can get bounced for saying anything.
Right.
What additional rules are there for participating in WWE Thunderdome? No profanity, no violence, no inappropriate language, no inappropriate clothing, no nudity, no off-color remarks, and no third-party brand or political messaging.
I mean, those are perfectly understandable guidelines, but, oh man, I'm curious to, like, see how many people are they going to have to boot for these things, you know?
I think a lot, but
probably
decent
amount.
I don't think that will change the viewing experience that much.
Yeah, okay.
So, what do you think the craziest use of pyrotechnics or graphics is going to be?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, what are you speculating?
I want to see like graphics of the wrestlers. Like, I want it to feel like a video game where, like, if Big E gets slammed in a match, and there would be a graphic that pops up above him that's like he has chest pains and back pains because he was slammed.
Oh,
like one of those like HUD meters, basically.
Right, right.
I don't know.
A health bar and a HUD.
I really don't know what to expect, but I hope that it's bold and crazy.
Yeah.
I think it's good that they're doing something just that looks different than the Performance Center at this point.
It's different, and it is mixing it up. I'm hesitant to see how it works, but I mean, again, they're trying something new, and you can't fault them for that.
Yeah, well, maybe you can. We're going to get into other big swings in a second here.
It could be catastrophic.
But first, we got to also touch that AEW announced yesterday that beginning with their tapings on August 27th, they will allow real live fans in attendance at the open air. Daily's Place Amphitheater in Jacksonville.
Is wrestling back, Andrew?
In a sense, well, it's 10% back, 10 to 15% back.
It's because, on the way.
Yeah, they're only going to be filling the crowd to 10 to 15% capacity. And the way that it works is that you can buy pods of seats that are 2, 3, 4, or 6 person pods, and that no one else will be around you, is the idea.
I see.
Is it too soon to have audience members back? And are you surprised that AEW made this move before WWE, honestly?
Honestly, yes. I am surprised that this was AEW first. Yeah. And because when I saw the notice, I was immediately talking to Sarah about it. And I'm not 100% on board. Yeah. I understand. And like, to be fair, they're not breaking any rules. They're following all the guidelines that are in charge of in Florida.
Yeah. But we just lost all of the viewership.
I'm not one to say that whether Florida is at the forefront of COVID procedures, but they're following all the guidelines, so it's not like they're breaking any rules or anything. So my immediate concern was it needs to be like required that everyone wear a mask and keep the mask on while they're there. And it seemed like it said that in the AEW thing.
Yeah.
So that's a step in the right direction. It's weird. Cause like, I mean, I am so excited at the prospect of like being able to watch wrestling live, even like this is in Jacksonville and I can't make it to Jacksonville, but we're slowly getting back to normalcy, it feels like, which is hopeful.
It does seem risky to me too, which I think is the hesitation that you're feeling.
Yes.
Right before we got in this, I told you that I went to a Target for the first time in pandemic, and just being in the Target, I had like an amazing amount of anxiety.
Absolutely.
Just from like people running around. I think that this only exists and only is happening because they have access to an open air arena.
Yes.
I think that's why the fans in the Amway Center in the Thunderdome are going to be virtual only.
Yeah.
I wonder, it feels like a WWE move. And I wonder if this means that the WWE will try to find open air spaces. Will WWE put a ring up in the middle of Central Park and run a Central Park show?
I only want this. I want a ring area set up outside, but with the actual cage for the Thunderdome from
Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
I want the Thunderdome cage around the ring, and then I will be satisfied.
I think that's a really great idea. Yeah, I hope that they lean into like the branding of Thunderdome seems a little lazy.
Although, a little lazy, a little silly.
I saw a leaked photo of what it might look like, and it does seem like there's going to be lighting fixtures not just on the ramp but throughout the entire arena that makes it feel enclosed like a dome.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Which would be more appealing to you as a fan right now to go to? the virtual Thunderdome or the AEW live tapings?
It's the AEW one. And like, mm-hmm. I know it's clearly not, it's not the safer option. It's, but again, like the prospect of seeing wrestling live again is, mm-hmm. it's so tempting. It's the, oh, but can, again, mm-hmm. like in a weird sense, I have to, like, I have to say that WWE is making the smarter decision here by finding a virtual way to include the fans than by just saying like, all right, we're having people back now.
Yeah.
AEW is doing it safely as much as they can, but still.
But yeah, that's as much as you can is the thing, because even if you do it 100% safely, like clearly we have failed as a human yes. race at containing this pandemic so far. So you can do everything right and still mess it up.
Right.
I'm a little worried for the Thunderdome about silence sounding more silent in a space that big, but I think mm-hmm. if they're piping in the audio from the fans, then it shouldn't be a problem. I hope that they go even further and like take a page from Wrestling Society X back in the day and just have mm-hmm. like bands perform during stuff. Like this is the time to try everything out.
Right, right. This is the time to experiment. To be fair, I think they are doing.
Yes, again, our third news item is all about experimentation. But really quickly before that, I'll play devil's advocate in that. Would you have a good time at a live AEW show with the idea that your mask is going to be on the whole time? So mm-hmm. I imagine you also, they're not going to sell food or drink.
Right.
And no, you probably have limited access to bathrooms.
I think in this sense,
you just wear a diaper to the show.
Well, I mean, it's how much do you love wrestling? I think in this sense, the restrictions and the rules that you need to adhere to might like overshadow the slight excitement of being back at live wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a mixed bag, honestly. Like, yeah, it's a mixed bag. I don't know. what would you prefer? I mean,
I think it is the home,
because I mean, you as a man who just went to Target and felt very uncomfortable.
Yeah, like, I'm afraid I'd get there and I would have like an anxiety attack and then leave. And that wouldn't be great either.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I think for now for me it's staying as a virtual fan and trying something totally new and different. Mm-hmm. But again, if WWE runs Central Park, I will go.
I will be there.
Yeah, I'll be in my distance pod.
There you go.
So if you're looking for a live wrestling experience that certainly doesn't require you to wear masks, there's Raw Underground.
Raw Underground.
I think a lot of times we criticize WWE fairly or unfairly mm-hmm. that they are rigid and unable to take big creative swings, right?
Yes.
We've said the metaphor that you can't, it's harder to turn a like destroyer than like a small boat.
Right.
But WWE, to their credit, has certainly been taking big swings in the last month and trying new things. Raw Underground was introduced a few weeks back by a returning Shane McMahon. Underground is a sort of shoot fight club styled unauthorized location within the WWE universe. Although on Raw this week, I guess they did reveal that it's behind a door backstage that has a bouncer and there's like fog that comes out of it. So you've got no ropes on the rings. You've got sexy dancing girls, impromptu fighting, taking center stage without the basic rules and conventions of regular WWE storytelling. And Dolph Ziggler.
And the Ziggler.
First of all, what are your first impressions of WWE Underground?
I'm going to be blatantly honest. I hate it. I really do.
Why do you hate it?
To me, it feels more like a desperate grab for something innovative and new rather than something that is actually innovative or new.
Mm-hmm.
And like you picked the worst possible guy in Shane McMahon to be the one who is like in charge of this underground fighting ring that's held backstage at WWE, and like maybe the higher ups don't really know about it. Like, why Shane McMahon? Why yeah. Shane McMahon?
Who would you have instead in that position?
I think my mind immediately goes to like a Paul Heyman. Just
well,
because,
he's no longer on the payroll, so
it just makes more sense, like with the ECW connection and the entire spirit of ECW, like that helps. But I guess to be fair, like if it was Paul Heyman, there's no way that people won't be like, oh, this is just a crappy ECW. Yeah.
I know that Shane personally is a fan of ECW and is a fan of MMA, and I think this was legitimately his idea.
Yeah.
So maybe he was like, it's going to be me or no one. Let me throw out a name for you. Someone who currently right now is not cleared to wrestle by doctors and could maybe be like, well, maybe if I'm not going to be cleared, I can go fight in the underground. Somebody who has a legitimate MMA presence.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Could also host it is Samoa Joe.
Yeah. That's it.
He could literally get up from the desk and be like, I'll be back in 15 minutes. Got to go to the underground. And
I got an impromptu match in the underground.
Yeah, with the Nation of Violence. Like, that would be a fun thing.
I would love that. Yeah, actually.
What is the experience like of watching these segments? They are shorter than most segments.
They are.
They are bite-sized. They're bite-sized little bits. But what can you walk me through for someone who hasn't seen one, like what you're going to get when you watch Raw Underground?
It's like you're watching Fight Club, but you're watching Fight Club on cable television.
Okay. I guess that's pretty accurate.
It's like you're watching cable television movie Fight Club. It's just, I cannot get past this cheesy feeling of like, why is this supposed to feel like the intention? Is this supposed to feel like dangerous and, and unregulated? There's no rules and anything can happen.
But there are rules. There is a referee.
But there are rules. Yeah. Exactly. Like, why is this supposed to feel that way? But it comes across so cheesy of like, okay, well, you still set up a ring. Maybe we don't have ropes, but you still have a ref.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, this weirdly has more rules than a normal WWE match. Like, the ref is like stopping fights after people are taking punches. Mm-hmm. Like, people get quote unquote like knocked out in a wrestling match all the time. But if a guy takes a hard punch in the underground, it's over. Suddenly it's over. Like,
yeah, it's fascinating. One more thing about the rules, I'll say, because I just watched this week's Monday Night Raw, and at the end, when Nia Jax says that she'll have a match against Shayna Baszler, and then they ring a bell, and she like leaves instead of having the fight.
Yeah.
Shane McMahon on the mic is like, well, there's only one rule of Raw Underground. It's that you got to fight.
Oh, so
I'm happy that no one has said so far that the first rule of Raw Underground is Don't talk about Raw Underground. Here's why it doesn't work as Fight Club. And I agree with you. To me, it almost feels like a high school production of Fight Club.
That's even great. That's even better.
In that there are a lot of like less prominent actors in the Performance Center students who are mugging in the background like crazy. Like the people on the side of the rings who are supposed to be, I guess, betting on the matches are just moving so much and pulling focus. Mm-hmm. Also, it's too bright. It's too clean, actually. Like if they turned the lights down a little bit and added some like dirt to the mat, I would put dirt on there so that it would come up on people's bodies. I would make sure people are as sweaty as possible before coming in.
Yeah.
I see potential here, but I also don't know how it will integrate itself back into the rest of the product.
I definitely agree it needs to be dirtier. I think if I had to make one change, get rid of the ring.
You have
to get rid of the ring, because the ring immediately gives it this sense of like, because like it's the whole idea is like this is like an underground sort of, you know, non-sanctioned sort of thing, but like that's a ring, and like rings take time to set up and dress them and make them look good, and like get rid of the ring. It makes it too formal. It takes me immediately out of any sort of, you know, disbelief that this is an unsanctioned underground thing. Like,
how would you replace it? Like, replace the ring, like, because you can't really have them bumping on like a concrete floor.
You can't. That's true. In which case, I guess, yeah. I mean,
do you lower the ring? Just like put the mat on the ground?
I guess, but
make it look like Karate Kid in that way.
I was gonna say, I don't know if that was help, because like rings, they clearly have bounce to them and stuff, and I think it would be blatantly obvious when you're seeing, like,
yeah,
it maybe the floor is level with everything else, but it's bouncing.
Do you put a cage around them, or do you threaten getting sued by UFC?
A cage is a great help. Maybe just don't make it 8 sides. Maybe you can get around it.
A 5-sided cage.
I think the cage would help. My immediate thought was more like a ring of like lumberjacks, almost, like,
yeah,
people to
push you back in.
Yeah, push you back into the middle, keep you fighting, things like that.
Kind of like the Michael Jackson music video for "Beat It."
There you go. Yeah. I want the music video for "Beat It" as Raw Underground. That's what I want.
This does feel new and different for weekly WWE programming, but it's not the first time that a similar idea has been tested in wrestling or in WWE in particular. Who else has done something like this in the past, Tyler?
Well, WWE specifically has. With for the life of me, I can't remember the name, but when they wanted to do the dumb shoot fights,
the Brawl for It All.
Yeah.
How they
completely backfired on them.
It seems that they learned a big lesson from that, and that they're not having these as legitimate shoot fights where, like, the wrestlers get injured and you can't control a narrative of who wins. That, for those who don't know, there is a Dark Side of the Ring episode about this, which is now on Hulu, I believe.
Oh, excellent.
This was a legit shoot fight in the middle of the Attitude Era for Monday Night Raw that was meant to showcase Dr. Death, Steve Williams. And unfortunately, he lost in the first round. And then it was like, well, what are we going to do here? So at least they've learned that lesson. Have you ever seen...
At least they're not actually having people out there fighting each other.
Have you ever seen any of the Josh Barnett Bloodsport events?
No, I haven't.
So that is what this is mostly ripping off. Josh Barnett, the former... Or I guess he's still an MMA fighter, which is scary. He was also a pretty competent pro wrestler for New Japan. And he runs these series of events that are pro wrestling shows called Bloodsport, where the idea is similar to Raw Underground in that it is a more shoot-styled, worked match. And he does a ring with no ropes. That is the thing. But because you can't see the audience because it is so darkened, I think it works better.
Right.
So there's that. And then for a short time in the early 2000s, New Japan actually had a division of shoot fighting in it as well. And their pay-per-views would be half pro wrestling and half shoot fighting, which is kind of okay, except for the fact that a lot of the wrestlers were also forced to be in the shoot fights and vice versa. So you have some people who could hold their own. Shinsuke Nakamura has a few wins.
He has an actual MMA background.
Yeah. And then you have Jushin Thunder Liger getting beat in MMA matches. This led to Inoki being bounced from New Japan. What I'm saying is really that this idea has happened before and has never come close to working.
Yeah.
Really. other than as like a one-off attraction. But let's be positive. Who could this be really good for on the WWE roster?
Honestly, it looks like it's doing really well for Dabakato right now.
Yeah.
for a guy who's virtually an unknown name, even to me, like I'm pretty sure I might have seen him in NXT before this, but I never remembered him or anything like that. But so it'd be a great way to give some sort of legitimacy to some new guys in a very different way. But and also, I guess, you know, you could have a guy like Samoa Joe go there and display his MMA background and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's, I think there's potential, but it's, for me personally, it's just getting past the corny feel of it. Who do you think, if you had to pick someone on the roster who isn't currently showing up on Underground to show up on Underground, who would it be?
That's tough. Well, I was going to say that I think it is good for Dolph Ziggler. Honestly, it reminds us that he has like this freestyle wrestling background.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone who's currently not in there who I would put in there is Kushida.
Kushida.
I'd want to put someone who's not being utilized to their fullest abilities. And I think that he's perfect for it. I mean, like, certainly Matt Riddle would be good there, but they're doing enough with him on SmackDown anyway, and he's on SmackDown, I guess. I like that the MMA version of the, I guess now, three horsewomen showed up this week. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a great way to give Shayna Baszler her mojo back and bring these other people into the forefront. Man, I don't know. I don't know if there are other people that it is good for, honestly.
It's a toughie.
I think if they are actually going to take away the recently retired Daniel Cormier and introduce him to wrestling, this would be a great way to introduce him. But beyond that...
Isn't Cormier about to have a fight with Miocic?
He did last week.
He already did.
Yeah,
okay.
He lost and he retired at the end.
That already happened.
Yeah, sorry to spoiler alert for you. Yeah, that was last Saturday.
That's fair.
Although he got poked in the eye in the first round and then couldn't see for the rest of it. So, like, it's kind of sad. But he also, it was the heaviest I've ever seen him look in a fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
he
to
did
body
not look great
someone,
in the weigh-in.
But, yeah, so, I mean, he's long been rumored to be professional wrestling bound. So I think if you're using it to debut somebody, ultimately I think that's a good idea. Or if you're using it to bring Brock Lesnar back, like that, like
that would immediately give it like such a bump in legitimacy if you had Brock show up on the Underground. But
yeah,
I don't know, man.
I'm not willing to give up on
it
yet.
Brock would do that.
I haven't liked it yet. I think that the actual biggest problem we haven't talked about is that it accentuates one of the biggest negatives for WWE, which is motion sickness from the amount of cuts.
Right.
Like, it actually highlights that. Like, like, here's how many cuts there are, because in MMA fights, there are very few camera cuts. So to get your mind into view, like, I'm viewing something like that, and then to see that motion is ridiculous. All right, we have to move on, because we're 42 minutes in and we have not got to the pay-per-view preview yet. But we have one
Look, there was a lot to talk about.
There is. There's one more big swing that WWE took. And this is the introduction of a new faction called Retribution. They were introduced a few weeks ago. They are wreaking havoc on the WWE roster with attacks in backstage areas, in the ring, generally causing mischief, screwing with the signature and the editing of the show, and locking wrestlers in bathrooms. They are a mysterious group of wrestlers clad in black hoodies. It's been suggested that Retribution is either a WWE-styled Antifa parody or a copy of AEW's Dark Order. Do you think either of those assessments are true? And if not, how would you characterize this group so far?
I don't necessarily see the Dark Order thing. Like, I feel like the only Dark Order comparison is like, well, they have masks.
Yeah.
Like, they don't seem to be actively recruiting, which is such a major element of the Dark Order for me. I personally don't get the Antifa stuff.
I think it's that it's like, here are all these mischievous people. I think they've mentioned that they are rioting once, and they're turning over cars and spray painting. I think that would be a wildly poor choice
to make direct
references to it.
Especially right now, that would be a wildly poor choice. Honestly, I'm Yeah, I'm not sure, like, the vibe I'm getting from them, but I do really enjoy the speculation of who it's, like, who is going to be behind the mask.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of things showing up right now of people making connections of, like, oh, well, I know specifically there were two girls, two female wrestlers who they pegged from NXT based on their hair that was, like, sticking out of their mask or something. And they're like, oh, well, this is this girl and this is this girl. But WWE's quip to that, they were like, well, the final roster has yet to been, like, decided.
Yeah.
These are people just, honestly, who we
These
have
are bodies.
To be bodies.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And honestly, I think that's not a lie at all. I think that's 100%. They're like, look, the actual people who are going to be in this thing aren't necessarily available to us every week. So.
Yeah. I think the strength of the group so far, I think they should move away from everything Antifa, even adjacent that they can. Like, I think getting rid of Black Hoodies might be a good idea.
Yeah.
and not having them, like, flipping over cars.
Yeah.
But I do like that they are sophisticated and that they're taking control of, like, the production. There was a great moment in the Drew McIntyre segment that opened Raw where, like, it kept cutting to graphics and, like, weird angles of the announce team, and it felt like a genuine mistake, and then kept speeding up, and then they had to go to commercial because, like, they had taken over the control room. Yeah. I think that's really fun.
Is Sami Callihan coming back?
No, I don't think he is. But I wonder if, like,
who is his hacker?
He was Solomon Crowe.
Solomon Crowe. Wow.
But I think, I mean, there's another WWE hacker, and that storyline was seemingly abandoned, but maybe that will marry into this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the worst rumor that I've heard that would be awful is if this was the beginning of a new Nation of Domination. Another faction that should not be brought back, especially with an Antifa lean on it.
I was going to say, what a horrible way to introduce that.
I still think that it is possible that the faction could be led by a stable of four black wrestlers or four people of color wrestlers in Mustafa Ali, Cedric Alexander, Ricochet, and Apollo Crews.
Yeah.
I think that can be fine, but you really got to
do it
toe
right.
The line on that.
I think I've heard some interesting theories as well about who this, like, the lineup's going to be. And my personal favorites is when WWE had their mass release of a bunch of wrestlers a few months ago, like in the middle of COVID, the theory on the dirt sheets is that a lot of those people they released, either they didn't actually release or they immediately hired them back with the idea that they are going to come back in this retribution thing where they were let go and this is them coming back to seek retribution and all that.
I think that's a good idea. I think, unfortunately, a lot of the people who are big enough stars to lead that group are
already hired
other places. And as compelling of an idea as that is, I've stated my opinion before that I am sour on the idea of using, in the middle of a pandemic, people being fired from their jobs as a storyline.
I definitely agree.
We'll get into some more speculation about this, actually, since we're already behind and since this has to do with the pay-per-views that we're about to preview. It's a tease. We'll get back into Retribution shortly here, because now it's time for the biggest party of the summer preview. So with NXT TakeOver 30 XXX on Saturday night and SummerSlam on Sunday, we are dedicating the second half of our show today to a good old-fashioned pay-per-view preview. We've got 20 questions, frequently asked questions, about these cards that we're going to try to answer. So let's start in chronological order. Let's go with NXT TakeOver 30, the main event, XXX. Keith Lee is defending his NXT championship against Karrion Kross. Question number one, how do you book this in a way that doesn't take away the momentum from either of these competitors?
Personally, Keith Lee's going over. He's got to go over somehow. Keith Lee keeps the title. Keith Lee doesn't have to win. He doesn't have to necessarily stand tall, but Keith Lee needs that belt at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Karrion Kross has been on quite a roll, and him winning the title would be would clearly like be the extra rocket boost to send him even farther.
Yeah.
But him losing this match, or at least not getting the title, is not going to hurt him that much. Keith Lee, I think being a transitional champion is the far more detrimental option.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I really don't want Karrion Kross to look bad here. I wonder if you can have if you can have Scarlett cost him the match in a way that is not like leading to tension between them.
What's Mia Yim doing right now?
I think she'll be ringside for this match as well.
Okay.
So like maybe they can get DQ'd.
Sure.
But it does like for TakeOver 30, the main event, it seems weird to finish in a non-clean finish.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Maybe,
and this will definitely be the main event.
So maybe you have Keith Lee, like, put him in a sleeper hold to win or something like that. Like, you got to have them both look good in this match.
Agreed.
Normally, the question number two, normally big versus big matches are slow and plodding. Do you think that this has the potential to do something very different for the typical NXT TakeOver main event match or the typical big versus big match?
I'm going to say in if we're looking at through this, like through the lens of NXT TakeOver main event, no. The TakeOver main events have had excellent people in those spots from the beginning almost. So I think in terms of like a big guy versus a big guy match, there's potential. Keith Lee is... We've known for a very long time Keith Lee is not hindered by his size in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be interesting. Personally, I mean, I've not seen Karrion Kross be like a quick guy necessarily.
No, he's kind of an old school big guy.
Yeah, yeah. So I think Keith Lee, the bigger guy, might be bringing Karrion Kross up to his speed, which, and I mean that in the most literal sense, so
yeah,
that could be interesting. I don't know, what do you think?
I think that the growing I don't want to say cliche, but the growing thing we've come to expect from NXT TakeOver main events is matches that go 30 to 40 minutes and have multiple near falls
and like 5.5 stars
spam finishes, right? And I think that if there's ever a time to do something really different, it is with these two. And I think you could do a more Brock Lesnar main event styled match. It could be like an 8-minute match and just have them like be hyper aggressive and beat the shit out of each other for eight minutes. And that, I think that would be satisfying and could actually like work as something different in NXT. But we'll see. We'll see what they do. I'm curious about the execution. I think we both are pretty sure that Keith Lee is walking as champion. But
I was about to ask you, like, what do you think the chances?
I think it's 10% chance that he loses. I don't know. Maybe less. Or maybe this other match will be the main event of NXT TakeOver 30.
Ooh.
Question number three, relating to Adam Cole versus former NFL punter Pat McAfee. Question number three, what is Pat McAfee the wrestler going to look like?
So, oh man. I think Pat McAfee is a dweeb. And
I agree.
But to be fair, like from what I've seen, like they did the promo video of like Pat like training and like the ring and like doing moonsaults and all this stuff. From this video, it seems to me like he is taking this extremely seriously, as serious as someone who has never wrestled can take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect that. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt in that this could actually be a good showing for Pat McAfee. But if Adam Cole loses, we riot.
Ooh, I think I differ with you on there. I'm totally fine with Adam Cole losing this match. And I kind of think he should. Almost in a way.
He can only lose this match by some shenanigans.
Yes, like, yes, I agree.
He cannot take a clean three from Pat McAfee's super effective punt kick.
I think he literally, like, the finish should involve him being punted. like out of the ring, like from the ring to out of the ring. Like, I think this should be a comedy match and it should be really fun.
Yeah.
Adam Cole has shown not in NXT that much, but like in the past, mm-hmm. that he is a adept comedy wrestler.
He is. Yeah. He can be hilarious. He really can.
He also can make people look really good when they aren't. And Pat mm-hmm. McAfee is not just a football player getting in the ring. He's someone who's been around wrestling a lot recently. Yeah. And like mm-hmm. body-wise, he looks like a wrestler.
He does. Yeah, he's got the height. He's got the physique. It's, yeah. It's
because he's not like your typical punter.
No.
Like he is a big boy. And that is like his half of his appeal. Yeah, I feel like you get the Undisputed Era involved and like
mm-hmm.
you have some punts going on, you have some hijinks and comedy, and I think this could be a blast.
I don't know, I think Andrew is very excited for this match.
I think I am. I think it's also, again, we're like, I like that on NXT TakeOver 30 that the two most prominent matches are totally unlike any other match we've seen on NXT TakeOver shows. Unless you want to go back to TakeOver 1 where you got Baron Corbin versus Bull Dempsey. That's the last big versus big match that I can think of.
What happened to Bull Dempsey, man?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's on the independent circuit now.
Okay.
I liked that guy.
I liked Bull Dempsey.
Bullfit was really fun.
Remember Bullfit?
Yeah. It was good. So, yeah, I think Adam Cole versus Pat McAfee could be the most noteworthy thing coming out of this show, honestly.
I think it's definitely going to be entertaining.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Entertaining for a totally different reason is our next match, which was announced yesterday. Finn mm-hmm. Balor is going to be taking on Timothy Thatcher. Question number 4, who has more to lose or gain with this match?
This is 100% Finn Balor has way more to lose here.
Yeah.
Timothy Thatcher is really good. I didn't know much about Timothy Thatcher on the independents, so his NXT stuff is kind of my introduction to Timothy Thatcher.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good. I like him. He has this very like old school brawler feel to him, and like an Arn Anderson sort of thing almost. So I like Timothy Thatcher, but this is. I genuinely think like Finn Balor has to win this match.
Yeah.
He really needs this win.
Finn Balor's direction in the company has been strange because like in a world he really should have been the NXT champion coming into their move to USA Network.
Exactly. When he returned to NXT, like he needed that belt. He needed something to establish him rather than just any old guy who came back. Like he needs to like come back and be like, this was my house and now it is again.
He's still been booked pretty strong in NXT, stronger than he was being booked on the main roster, but he still has had losses in title matches. And I get the idea to like be like, we want Adam Cole to be a year-long champion, and I get that Keith Lee is the next person in line, but you could have had Finn be the link between them, and now it seems like you have to protect Finn by keeping him away from Keith Lee right now, because you don't want him to just be like one of the first few title defenses for Keith Lee. You want him to be up in there in a position where it's believable that the championship can change. So maybe it's okay if he loses. Maybe it's like Timothy Thatcher beat Matt Riddle in a cage. If he beats Finn Balor at NXT TakeOver 30, then he is a legitimate next contender for Keith Lee, and he's someone who won't be hurt by losing to Keith Lee.
A loss to Keith Lee, right.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. They have a lot of clutter at the top of the main event now.
They have so many guys who, like, could... And this isn't necessarily a bad thing at all. They have so many guys that could foreseeably be thrown into the main event, which is great, but it's also... It's very crowded.
They got to get Finn Balor in a blood feud storyline that has nothing to do with the title.
Right.
And like when he had that with Johnny Gargano, it was great, but now you got to get someone else for him to have that with to make him feel prominent. Mm-hmm. Question number 5 goes with the NXT Women's Championship title match, and Io Shirai is defending against Dakota Kai. I think this should be a lot of fun. They were former teammates. What are the chances of a title change?
Oh, this is the one I think I'm least like sure about this one. I genuinely think, I think Dakota Kai has a chance here.
Wow. Because I was ready to say like 0%. Talk to me more about this. I'm fascinated.
I think if Dakota Kai has her...
Raquel.
Yeah. If she's got her heater with her, like, there's a chance. Like, there's... I genuinely think there's a chance. Io Shirai is excellent as the NXT Women's Champion. I don't necessarily foresee, like, them trying to move her to the main roster or something as like a reason she would drop the title, but yeah. I don't know. I generally think there's a chance, especially with Dakota Kai having her heater.
Wow. All right. I'm now.
Well, why are you so sure? There's definitely not.
I feel like the wanting to move any world champion belt during quarantine is probably low. And maybe they're opening up to that more. And I guess there's time to do it. It's at a big four pay-per-view and NXT 30. But like we talked about how like there's no way that Keith Lee can be a transitional champion. And I feel that way too about Drew McIntyre. We're going to get into that, even though it feels like he, like there should be a world where he loses to Randy Orton. But it would be sad for his entire reign to happen without fans. But we'll get to that when we get to that. Bronson Reed taking on Damian Priest and Cameron Grimes and Johnny Gargano and the Velveteen Dream in a ladder match for the vacant North American title. Question number 6, who should win this match and why?
Cameron Grimes is going to the moon.
I think it should be Reed, Priest, or Grimes. You should use this to elevate a new person rather than
give it back to Gargano.
Dream would be the worst decision in the world.
He would.
Breezango is taking on Lorcan and Birch and Legado de Fantasma, which is Joaquin Wilde.
Sorry,
and Raul Mendoza. Wilde was DJZ and Impact, if you didn't know.
Yes.
And this is for the number one contendership for the NXT tag team titles, which are currently held by Imperium. So question number 7, which of these teams do you want to see go up against the Germans the most?
So I want to say Breezango.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm fairly certain we've seen Lorcan and Birch versus this team.
Imperium,
Imperium.
On a UK.
But I kind of want to see that again.
Yeah.
Because I think Lorcan and Birch could do it. And I don't think they've ever been NXT tag team champions.
They have not, no.
And I honestly, I think they're due. I think they're due a run.
Yeah.
They've put in their time. They've been a team for years now. Just give them the belts.
Yeah, I love Breezango too, but like them or the faction around Fantasma, it would feel weird to see them go up.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't fit quite as well with Imperium.
Yeah,
maybe Legado de Fantasma more, and you could do a Mexico versus Germany kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. I think Lorcan and Birch is the right call.
Yeah.
Question number 8: What is going to be the headline coming out of NXT TakeOver 30?
Unless they do a shocking title change and give the belt to Karrion Kross, I think the headline is going to be related to whatever hijinks happen into the Cole-Pat McAfee match.
Yeah, I agree. I think Cole McAfee is going to be the headline coming out.
Yeah, whatever the hijinks that happen in there, or even just like maybe they have a really good match. I think that's going to be the highlight. Yeah.
What's going to be the match of the night?
Oh, for me, I'm already think it's going to be Finn Balor, Timothy Thatcher.
I think you've talked me into thinking it's going to be Shirai versus Dakota Kai.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm really excited for that now.
I'm pumped for that match. I think there are possibilities.
It's weird that neither of us picked the ladder match for the North American title.
Yeah, because the North American title has had an excellent history with ladder matches. Yeah.
Ladder matches are tough without fans.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so moving on to the biggest party. You'll never see it coming, guys. SummerSlam. Mm-hmm.
Out of nowhere.
Let's start with the main event. Speaking of out of nowhere, Drew McIntyre defending the WWE Championship against Randall Orton.
Randall Orton?
Yeah. Question number 10, rumors are that Randy Orton versus Edge is penciled in as the WrestleMania main event next year for the title. Does this mean that Drew McIntyre will lose his WWE championship without ever having been champion in front of a live crowd?
God, I hope not. I really hope not. I feel so bad for Drew.
Yeah.
The man has gotten the short end of the stick so many times in his career. I really hope not. What do you think are the actual chances, though?
I think the chances are higher than any other challenger for a world title. Well, maybe not. We'll get to
any other challenger.
We'll get to Asuka.
Yet?
Yeah. I think I can see the world where it happens. Also, because I feel like the story on television for this one leading up has been really well constructed.
Yeah.
I think the inclusion of the Big Show and Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels to build it up has been strong. And yeah. I think that Randy Orton as a character has stayed hot and evolved out of the feud with Edge. Mm-hmm. I think the Ric Flair stuff, it was like the best promos that Ric Flair has given in a yeah. long time. And like real emotion. And I think Drew has been really good in responding to that. Like Drew has done a admirable job of being the microphone anchor of Raw recently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I get that Randy Orton versus Edge makes sense at WrestleMania.
It does.
Randy Orton's has had a great year so far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's like a 38% chance that Randy Orton wins this. And if he doesn't win it here, then maybe he wins it at Survivor Series or
yeah.
You know.
That is a chance. That's a pretty good chance.
Yeah. I think the allure might just be too strong, or like just not knowing what to do next with Drew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So from one WWE championship match, or actually, should we talk a little bit about Retribution here? No, we have a Retribution question later.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I have a whole like fantasy booking angle with that.
Great. We'll close with that then. Braun Strowman's defending the WWE Universal Championship against The Fiend. It doesn't seem like this is going like it's going to be a conventional wrestling match, it seems. Mm-hmm. Question number 11. This can be considered the very rare heel versus heel match with bald bad guy Braun throwing Alexa Bliss around the ring on SmackDown, effectively mm-hmm. turning heel. Will there be a clear face at the end of this match, Tyler? And who do you think it will be?
Nope, because they're messing it up.
You don't think there will be a face at the end of this? And they'll still both be heels?
I think there will be, and somehow it's going to be The Fiend. So I don't know. I was a fan of this storyline until they did that nonsense with turning Braun heel, and it just I feel like they're gonna try to somehow make the Fiend a face out of this, and that is just so backwards to like the Fiend's entire character mm-hmm. and literally everything the Fiend has ever done. Like I just
can I give you my fantasy book of the way that that could work.
Hit me.
Because I think, again, talk about people being great actors. Alexa Bliss has been super valuable.
She's done great.
On air personality. For this feud.
Mm-hmm.
And I
Braun still feels a little cheesy, but he's getting better.
Yeah, he's getting there. I feel that you can have the Fiend be a face if Alexa is the one who makes the big heel turn in this match and helps the Fiend win. And it's like mm-hmm. controlling the Fiend so that like she is the real big heel.
Right.
And then Braun can kind of walk back turning heel and be like, I didn't turn heel. I just threw Alexa Bliss because she's the real villain.
She's the bad
and
guy.
And it becomes about, you can continue the storyline with Braun trying to like liberate the Fiend.
But
I don't know if it's good. It makes logical sense.
It somehow makes sense of this cluster they've put themselves in. I don't know. Like, yeah. Right. Like, immediately I'm like, well, why is Braun trying to save the Fiend? Like, yeah. Why? Like, we've already established in some sort of kayfabe here that the Fiend is not is separate from Bray.
Yeah.
So any sort of like camaraderie or wanting to save Bray, like, doesn't have to include the Fiend in that. But
yeah. Or maybe they'll just turn Braun face again at the end of this match, and he'll be like, sorry, I threw you. I was confused.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I was confused.
It would be weak, but it would put them in a better starting position, I think, going
but
forward.
But then the other the speculation that a lot of people have been talking about, is this how they introduce the reveal that Alexa Bliss is actually Sister Abigail, or
I don't know.
Or has suddenly been possessed by...
I guess possessed would be fine. That would kind of go into her being the talking piece. But we already determined who Sister Abigail was with Randy Orton in the horror match.
And also, like, but also it has seen, because again, with the addition of Bray's like Fiend character, it comes with the addition of all these like new canon rules and stuff. And
it's
at
the
no
reboot
point,
of a horror franchise. So
yeah, yeah.
Let's retcon.
At no point have we established that Sister Abigail has any control or power over the Fiend. She has power over Bray, but
Alexa Bliss will be paramount to how this match goes.
I agree with that.
I don't think it matters who I don't think it matters who wins and loses this, because I don't think the title will change hands, honestly.
Yeah. Okay.
Next we got Sasha taking on Asuka and Bayley taking on Asuka for the Raw and SmackDown women's titles respectively. Question 12. The Sasha Bayley pairing, the golden role models, they've been long rumored for a breakup from way back before we were all quarantined. Mm-hmm. Is this finally the moment to pull the trigger on that turn, or do you keep rolling with how hot they've been?
What do you think?
I think you pull the trigger if you pencil them in to face each other at WrestleMania in a prominent way, and this is the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm. And this is the start of a good 8-month lead up.
Yeah. Because we've seen them have a will they won't they thing before where it wasn't good, but now it seems like they've figured out this storyline. They have a bunch of history. They deserve a match against each other at WrestleMania.
Yes.
So yeah, I would be cool if this is like a big moment at SummerSlam. you can also do it in a way where it doesn't have to be, the full turn doesn't have to happen tonight, because that leads into the next question, which is question number 13, who will walk out of this pay-per-view with the titles?
Right, yeah.
And if only one of them has a title coming out of this, you don't have to break them up necessarily right away.
You can plant those seeds of dissension and jealousy. Mm-hmm. And
they can continue to be heavily featured on both shows.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yes, this is the one I personally feel a little torn on. I like your idea of if this is going to lead us somewhere, if this is going to have a payoff, a WrestleMania style payoff, then I am for it. I don't know how confident I am in WWE to stick to that booking 8 months out. So I am hesitant for them to go through with it.
Yeah. I will say if the turn begins at SummerSlam, you can count me as a viewer who will be tuning in to like Raw to see what happens with them specifically. Like it has captivated me enough that I want to make time for it. Mm-hmm. Next, Dominic Mysterio is taking on Seth Rollins in a street fight. Most important question on here, question number 14. Tyler, will anyone lose an eye in this match?
God dang it. I don't think so, unfortunately. Sorry, kids, if you were looking for that gore, if that's why you were going to tune in, I don't think.
Well, you're gonna get the gore just in all of the scarring and marks on Dominic Mysterio's body.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yikes.
Yikes. Oh man, I'm gonna be honest. I am least looking forward to this match.
Oh, that's interesting. I think Seth's character work has been good recently, and I like Ray's work as like supporting Dominic. I guess Dominic is a giant unknown as a performer.
He's a giant unknown as a performer, exactly. And there's something to be said of saying, like, well, put him in the ring with like one of the best, like Seth Rollins, mm-hmm. to make sure that, like, even if he does have, you know, if he's lacking in areas, Seth will make up for it and make him look good. Like, there's an argument to be made there, but I don't know.
In a recent interview, Seth revealed that he was given a list of names and told to choose his opponent for SummerSlam, mm-hmm. and asked who he wants to work with. And he said, I want to work with Dominic, that he wanted to have that challenge of making something out of him. So I think Seth Rollins, or Colby Lopez, the performer, is very motivated in this sense to do something memorable. And that, I think, is maybe why I have some hope for it. Also, I have some hope because question number 15, how many people not named Dominic or Seth will be interfering in this match? Like, I feel like this could be the fun middle of the show kind of cluster nonsense.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of things going on. Well, I think, is it confirmed? Is Ray going to be ringside?
Dominic asked him not to be on Raw. He said, I kind of want to do this. That fight my own fight, Dad. But Rey Mysterio with his cool match or mask eye patch attachment, I think is definitely going to be there. I think Buddy Murphy will definitely make contact with somebody.
Absolutely.
I would not be shocked to see either Kevin Owens or Aleister Black involved, since they are currently not elsewhere on this card, and they pretty much hate Seth Rollins. So,
yeah, I agree. I definitely this match is probably going to have the most shenanigans going on. I don't know. Do you think there's any chance that Dominic wins in a somewhat clean fashion?
Yes.
I think there's a chance he wins, but I don't know how.
I guess you can win as clean as you can in a street fight. Like, maybe it's like using weapons, but could that still be clean?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. I could also see a world where they get really, really bold, as they've been recently, and maybe Rey Mysterio becomes the third member of Seth Rollins' kind of stable. And he's like,
turns on his own son.
I lost an eye, and I saw the light. Yeah. And, you know, there's certainly some stuff in the Bible about fathers who had to sacrifice their sons for the approval of the Lord. So I think that could actually be kind of fun. And then that could lead to them taking on Aleister Black and Kevin Owens, Dominic's new surrogate family. Later. This reminded me of something, and I want to go back to Sasha and Bayley really quickly. Mm-hmm. If this is the start of a storyline that's going to continue to WrestleMania, I really, really, really want a traditional style Team Bayley versus Team Sasha Survivor Series 5-on-5 match.
Ooh.
That is the perfect thing to happen to keep that storyline to continue going, and you can keep them away from each other and still have it like a thing. I hope that this means that Survivor Series isn't just Raw versus SmackDown again.
Right, yeah.
Because I think that would be great.
I like that idea. I think the two of them having to recruit people to their team after they have somewhat already alienated the entire roster.
Oh, Tyler, I love it. Tyler, baby, this is great.
I kind of like it, right?
This is perfect. Yeah. Oh, watch them go on their forgiveness apology tour.
Yeah. Apology tour.
That's great. I love it. Mandy Rose is taking on Sonya Deville in a hair versus hair match. Question number 16, who would benefit the most from having a shaved head going forward?
I don't know who will benefit the most, but I would be willing to bet money. I don't bet on wrestling anymore, but I would be willing to bet money that Sonya Deville is getting her head shaved.
Yeah, that would be my conventional wisdom, since Mandy Rose's attractiveness is a part of her character.
It's so important to her character, but her shaving her head, I was gonna say that I don't think Mandy Rose would necessarily benefit from having her head shaved, but her getting her head shaved would easily be a much bigger story and have a much bigger spotlight on it.
I want to say that I think either of these women would actually have a great look with like a shaved head, not like shaved bald, but like a shaved
the like buzz
the
cut,
buzz cut. I think that they could both make it work. It definitely would make Sonya into more of a badass, and I think there could be an interesting story in Mandy, who in character has always had this confident like one of the few remaining wrestlers who has like a confident sexuality and using like her looks as a weapon. For her to lose her hair and suddenly feel like she is ugly and have her on again off again boyfriend Otis kind of like show her that she is beautiful even without hair.
Like, that would be so wholesome. Like, I kind of would love that.
Yeah. I think that would be money. And I think that Mandy Rose has continued to exceed all kind of early kind of stereotypes or perceived things about her when she was hired. People thought like, oh, she's not really a wrestler, she's just a pretty person, a model. And I think she has continually proven that she's much more than that, and that she is a team player willing to do a lot of stuff. So I think Mandy's getting her head shaved.
All right,
we'll see.
I'm excited to see it. I think that, and like to go back to the NXT question, that might be the highlight of SummerSlam if Mandy gets her head shaved.
Well, they've certainly been the headline going into it too. Do we want to talk at all about their running in their personal life? Not really. Google it, people. It's a crazy story.
You can Google it up. It's a crazy story. Yeah. Fucking crazy people out there.
Yeah. Apollo Crews taking on MVP for the U.S. title. Question number 17. What are you more surprised by in 2020? Apollo being prominently featured on the show or MVP being prominently featured as a wrestler?
That's tough, because honestly, both of those are equally shocking, I think. In a weird sense, I want to say that MVP's resurgence is the more shocking thing, but I'm not that shocked by it, because he did that like first appearance back either last year or
at the Royal Rumble, I think, is the first.
And then very like the next Raw, he was like, "And I'm retired. I'm done with WWE." And here he is back full time, basically with WWE. So I shouldn't be shocked by that at all. And I love that Apollo Crews is getting a spotlight finally.
I love both of it. And I love that both of them have taken a lot of time on Raw. They've been a real highlight of the show for me, the Hurt Business and the unnamed Apollo faction, because they've been giving a lot of time to underutilized, really talented, like black performers, honestly. And they've created a storyline that is not based on race currently. And they've featured all eight of these guys. I'm also talking about Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley, I guess seven guys, and the aforementioned four with Apollo. It's been great. Keep it up. Give them time.
Keep it going.
Street Profits taking on Angel and Andrade for the Raw Tag Team Championships. Question number 18. Does Demi from The Bachelor do anything to move the needle here for you?
No, not at all. get her.
I think she is a fine performer in this, but
she's a fine performer. But again, this goes back to my like age old gripe of like, I want to watch wrestlers,
especially because Angel's been doing the same kind of backstage romancing to other, God, I can't remember now which backstage performer it is that he has like a crush on.
Was it Charlie?
And maybe Charlie.
Is it Charlie Caruso?
Yeah, I don't know. We're bad wrestling fans.
Eh.
Okay, so question number 19 and 20 next. Question number 19. What match does Retribution get involved with on this show, and in what way? Because we know that the inexplicable tagline for SummerSlam is, "You'll never see this coming." So I imagine that this is what it's a reference to. Tyler, give me the works.
All right. So I think if we're trying to connect these dots here, if we're trying to, you know, do the cork board of conspiracy theories, I think it would obviously make the most sense for them to get involved in the McIntyre Orton match. Honestly, I don't necessarily see that happening. I don't think they're going to play a huge role in that match. Honestly, I don't foresee them playing a massive role in this pay-per-view.
Really?
Because the thing about the them renewing the Payback
yes.
pay-per-view thing.
Let's bring the audience back up to speed here. Is yes. that WWE Payback, which had been an on again off again pay-per-view for some time, has been added mm-hmm. back onto the schedule for WWE, and it's going to be taking place a week. 2 weeks from now, I guess. It's going to be taking place in like 10 days, in a week after SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm. So my fantasy booking idea I have for Retribution deals with Payback. So let's say that SummerSlam goes by without a hitch, really, of Retribution going in and stirring things up. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll have, you know, like a backstage thing of like, oh, they did this or they something like that. But I think Payback is the real time to reveal and establish these guys as like the next thing. And you do that by leading up to Payback, of course, Retribution is making more and more of an impact, interfering with higher profile matches. Maybe mm-hmm. start with, you know, your mid-card titles or your tag team titles.
Well, they're only going to have 1 week of TV to do it.
Well, crap. well, then, perfect. That 1 week, you go all out.
Yeah.
But I think, basically, I'm gonna give you the TLDR here.
Great.
My main reveal is going to be main event of Payback. Whatever title it is, whoever's competing, doesn't matter. The main event of Payback, you're going to have Retribution come in, ruin the whole thing. Have them come in, either make the match a DQ, throw it out, what have you, doesn't matter. Because it's all going to be for the payoff of the reveal. And the reveal is going to be that because we've had, you know, numerous members of Retribution show up, so we don't really know exactly how many of them who's going to be the, like, leader, quote-unquote, or all that stuff. So let's say the way I'm booking it in my mind, we have, like, three major players, and the way I would do it is reveal them throughout the night of Payback, throughout the entire pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Maybe have one reveal at the top of the show, and this could be in like a backstage thing. Maybe they're attacking someone backstage and then they slowly pull the mask off to reveal themselves. Let's say someone who used to work for WWE and someone who, let's say, hasn't had the nicest things to say about WWE in the past, mm-hmm. but maybe interested in a payday and coming back. Someone like a Ryback, maybe?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Wow. Okay. That's not a name I'd heard at all with this,
right?
But that would be fascinating.
That would be fascinating. Have a Ryback come as the guy who reveals himself at the top of the show. Clearly, he's not the one in charge, but he's a major player here. Halfway through the show, maybe, let's say, have someone do the same sort of thing, interfere another match or another backstage thing. They pull off their mask and reveal themselves to be, I don't have a second one here, but you get the idea. Someone along the same line.
I could
line
say because... someone maybe who have been one of the rumored people, or is that mm-hmm. who you have in mind for the third one?
Well, the third one is the leader, and there's only really one way to go for this.
Okay. Then I can say that maybe someone like the rumored people for the second person, maybe like mm-hmm. Tommaso Ciampa, who's
Ooh.
Been like absent on NXT and is a weird person
yes.
not to have a presence going into NXT 30. And Dominik Dijakovac, who has mm-hmm. been tweeting things that make it seem like he's involved with this storyline. So
these are excellent options. Excellent options as the second reveal. And so let's say the last reveal of the night, the main event, whatever the title match is, it gets disrupted by Retribution. They're out there just beating people down, messing it up. You can have the whole crew out there. It doesn't matter. Let's say a Ryback character, and I'm going to go with Ciampa because I prefer Ciampa of that. And Ciampa, they have masked themselves again, but they remove the masks pretty quickly to like let them know that they're major players in this, and then you clearly have them gathered in the middle of the ring around the one center. This guy is going to be the de facto leader. And then he slowly pulls off the reveal, mm-hmm. and who do you have but one CM Punk?
Oh, Tyler, I want it.
I know it's not going to happen. I know it's not going to happen.
I want it so bad.
They would literally blow up the wrestling world if that happened. And you would immediately, like, everyone who's making fun of Retribution, like, oh, this is silly. Immediately people would be like, Retribution is the shit.
It's great because CM Punk also tweeted out what I thought was also a really great idea for Retribution, if impossible, because I think all the people necessary are, like, dead. Having Retribution be a faction led by people related to all the territory owners who were put out of business by Vince McMahon Sr.
Wow.
And it's like, that's a really cool idea. CM Punk makes a lot of sense.
It would be, again, I know it's not going to happen, but like, this is fantasy booking. It's the whole point. Like,
I think we both agree that it needs to be someone that big revealed as the leader for it to work.
For me to care about Retribution, I need a big name.
How about like a big dog name?
I
see your CM Punk, and I say, is this
and
gonna,
you're gonna raise me?
Is this gonna be the return of Roman Reigns, who was last seen being attacked backstage by people, and then inexplicably was off WrestleMania? People wanted to make rumors about the dissidence between them. Is this like the Usos and Roman Reigns coming out for Retribution?
This is...
It might physically be too early for him to safely be...
Yeah,
back.
I was going to say, I'm curious to see if he would actually come back now.
But it seems like the biggest names possible...
Again, that's how you immediately make Retribution matter.
It's Roman Reigns, it's CM Punk, and that's the list, right? Rusev, I guess?
Rusev, maybe.
He could be your Ryback-type person, of a person released who hasn't shown back up anywhere else and has talked ill of the company.
Yeah, he could work, again, clearly not on the same level of a CM Punk or a Roman Reigns.
Yeah, but no one else is really... out there, and and like Roman and CM Punk make the most sense, but they also seem like the least likely.
Exactly, yeah, they seem like real long shots, but I think that's why the payoff would be so much more.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I think there is an outside shot that the rumor that makes the most sense to me is Tommaso Ciampa getting involved with Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre because of their Twitter war. But we'll see. That would be a half measure, I think. final question. It seems weird to have a question after that, because that seems like the biggest thing going into SummerSlam. Question 20. Does Raw Underground make an appearance at the pay-per-view?
Probably. I don't really care. I'm sorry.
That concludes our pay-per-view preview. Tyler, do you got anything to plug or anything to talk about before we sign off?
No, I don't. Keep watching wrestling. Look up the AEW Twitter and Instagram to figure out the weird schedule changes. Yeah. Looking forward to TakeOver in SummerSlam.
I want to remind everybody that I said I was willing to bet the Big E would be the world champion coming out of SummerSlam.
Ooh,
and it seems like
that's
not going to happen. But,
so I had an update to that.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and tell you now. You can cut this if you want.
Okay.
I posed your potential bet to Jordan first, and I might have told you. Jordan declined it because he was like, "No, that sounds too plausible. I think he's right." So, but I explained this bet to Sarah, and she actually wanted to take the bet up for you.
Yeah.
Now I know that. You are not I know that you're not as keen on the bet now, being that you're only 2 days away and Big E isn't even on the card, much less in a title match. But
maybe
her stakes were,
I don't know.
Her stakes were that she would take the bet, and if she was the winner, that we must do a full episode about women's wrestling.
Wonderful.
And include Sarah as our co-commentator.
I love that.
And I told her, I was like, that's not really a loss for us. We would love to do that.
Then yeah, let's go ahead and make this bet official. Mm-hmm.
But still, hold on. There's another
okay,
one.
Okay. All right.
She also, and I told
I
her,
to
I was like,
my head. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, I don't know if that's really like a bet. Like, we'd love to do that. And she was like, okay, let me up this ante. Sarah is now a little side note. Sarah is now hosting this, podcast for her law school thing. They talk about like law reviews and stuff like that. But basically, she said that if you still wanted to make the bet and you lost, you have to give a wrestling promo style, like hyping up her law review on our podcast.
I could absolutely. I love this bet. It keeps getting better. Does she want to do a backdoor pilot or like a crossover episode and talk about the Vince McMahon steroid trial? Or other famous wrestling lawsuits? Because I know there are some.
So I don't think she has as much creative control about what her podcast is about.
You gotta negotiate for that.
Yeah, but that's true. She needs to negotiate better. She's gonna be a lawyer. You'd think she'd negotiate this better.
Yeah.
But she would love for you to make a wrestling promo about the podcast.
Great. So, okay, we're making the bet. It's official. I've accepted it.
It's official.
Come on, WWE. Make Big E the world champion at SummerSlam without him being advertised, you cowards. If and when I lose this, we will have Sarah on. We'll do an episode about the history of women's wrestling. I think we should have her on for two, and we should do a episode about lawsuits and wrestling, and then we can have her plug the show as well, and I will do the shoot promo. A worked promo hyping up her podcast. What's the name of the podcast? Is it out yet?
It is called A Hard Look, and it is specifically like if you search that title on your podcast app or wherever you find your podcast, it'll say something about ALR Law Review.
Administrative Law Review.
There you go. That's it.
I found it. This is great. I'm going to give this a really fun listen, and I'm going to link to it.
So you can build your promo.
Yeah. I'm going to take out all the other co-hosts on here too. They probably won't appreciate me talking them down. But yeah, I will put a link to that in the to her podcast in the show notes as well. That's really, really cool. So check out that show if you want to have something smarter to listen to than our show. And I need Big E to really come through big.
Come on, Big E.
Yeah. With that, we're going to remind you, you can have us answer your questions in the KFAVE 5000 by submitting them to us on our website, Much Ado About Wrestling. Sorry, muchadowrestling.com, on Twitter at @adowrestling, or you can email them to us directly, muchadowrestling@gmail.com. You can also go to Facebook and ask us questions there, and it seems like our next episode is going to be about the history of women's wrestling. So if you have some kayfabe questions for us with that, or people you want us to touch on, go to Facebook and let us know. As always, we're going to leave you with the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. If Big E doesn't win the world championship, we riot. you can't come back to that.
I don't know how to call it.
Thunderdome.
Thunderdome. Who run Bartertown?
Should I play the Tina Turner song?
Yes.